Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday. At least it's done storming for today. Maybe.
Lights started flicking up for a little bit. I didn't know if we were going to do a show.
I kind of didn't either. I'm amazed that our computer's working in Lapeer. I'm amazed that we still have power here in the thriving metropolis of Columbiaville, or apparently, according to the weather alerts, Columbineville. I didn't realize that that's the town I lived in.
Ooh,
but
that's not good.
Located just up the road from Otisville, apparently. National Weather Service really needs to get their you-know-what together on these names. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure any actual human would not look at Columbiaville and think, oh, clearly this is pronounced Columbineville.
Yeah, was it Washington, D.C.? D.C. now stands for District of Columbine?
Is that I'm so utterly confused by between that and the Otisville. Like, I don't even know apparently where I live. But thankfully, we got through the worst of it up here and didn't manage to lose power this time. Although, keep in mind, after the big storms that hit up here last time, we lost power like an hour later. So, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe we should just keep our mouths shut on that.
Right.
Because it would just shut down right in the middle of the show.
Right. We apparently got it back sometime while we were back in Lapeer on Friday night. But, of course, before we got home from the gig, there had already been no less than three companies going around trying to get up on our roof. And
yes. Yeah, they were at my house, too. They've got, like, three, my neighbor to the left and to the right and straight ahead of me. And they're knocking on our door. Like, it's like, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, my brother used to own this place. And this roof is about 12 years old. I was like, really? We bought the house 5 years ago, and they said the roof was 2 years old. So I'm not a math wizard. So I didn't think I got all the right information. Either that or you're lying. I'm saying this to Dorothy because she ended up talking to the guy. But yeah, these people were out in full force.
It's quite frankly, I think borderline predatory.
Oh yeah.
And I will be honest, even if I did end up having roof damage, I'm not going with the company that just shows up on my doorstep like an ambulance chaser the second the storm leaves the area.
Yeah, exactly. Because he said he went up there and says, oh, yep, hail damage.
Oh, she let him go up there?
Yeah, and she's like, so where? And he's like, oh, you know, just some, well, a little bit over here, a little bit over there. So, yeah, if we come up with a $1,000 deductible for our insurance, we can get a whole new roof, which is not a bad plan, but kind of don't want to have to deal with that headache.
Do you really need a whole new roof?
No, we don't need a whole new roof.
My point exactly.
No, I don't need a whole new roof.
You humored these guys far more than I did.
Like, I didn't talk to them at all.
Well, wife humored them far more than either one of us were going to. Like no, not really interested.
No,
well, I mean,
no.
I'm here right now. Like, nope, not worried about it. Trust me. If I find I have a new hole in the roof, I'll call somebody.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah. I do probably know a guy, honestly.
But if you go down right down my street, you'll see his signs.
Yep.
In everybody's front yard. Then there was somebody else that had their spiel taped to my door.
Yeah, I had two of those. So that guy showed up right after the storm.
Uh-huh.
And then while we were gone, apparently two other people left notes and things on our door. And then we had another one today. Apparently another one showed up here today.
Wow. I mean, that's how they make their money, I guess. But it's, you know what? How about if you sponsor a certain radio station, we'll talk.
Yeah. It would probably be better than going door-to-door soliciting. I don't have time for people who show up at my door wanting to sell me something or trying to convince me I need whatever work done. Like,
right.
If I decide that it's something that's that much of a priority, I will call somebody. I will reach out to you. Don't show up at my doorstep.
Yeah. I mean, a roof is not something you sell door-to-door.
No. I certainly didn't think so. Apparently, I thought wrong because I have seen that sign an awful lot around this neighborhood. The weird thing, though, was he apparently, because Rach was watching the whole thing from upstairs, apparently he parked right in front of our house, blocked both of our cars in, did not go to any other houses on our block, just went to ours, and then immediately got in his truck and left. Which I found rather interesting.
Probably because everybody around you already signed up for it, which, you know what that means? It's an entire summer and fall of construction vehicles closing off our streets, replacing roofs.
That'll be fun. Really looking
forward to
that.
That'll be great to sleep through, huh?
Right? Yeah, me and work. Well, hopefully I won't have to worry about sleeping through that for too long. But yeah, that's not exactly the when you work second slash borderline third shift and you're not going to bed till 5-6 in the morning, that gets real old real quick. I mean, that's during most normal people's, you know, functioning hours. So I mean, you suck it up and you deal with it.
The trailer park I used to live in, which I loved. I loved being a bachelor there. It was great. But I had my bedroom at the front of the house. I miss it sometimes. I had the bathroom connected to the bedroom. So that was a no-brainer. So that's going to be in my room. The woman, the older lady across the street from me, she had her roof done. Then she had her siding done. And then she had painting. I think she just liked seeing young guys shirtless outside. She's like, oh, yeah. She was like a cougar.
Probably. You
know, she's like chipping the paint. Well, I guess I'm going to have that replaced. So I had to move because, I mean, it was the sawing and the banging, the blasting of the music, and I had to move my bedroom to the other side, to the back of the house, where there was not a bathroom connected.
That's unfortunate.
Off.
Yeah. Wouldn't exactly be thrilled about that.
That's when I rediscovered the classic bedpan. No, I'm kidding.
That's what I discovered, just drinking a fifth of whiskey and passing out to the point where I won't even notice. Like, there could be a literal freight train running through the trailer next door, and I just don't notice it.
Then I get up around 2 in the morning, on my day off, of course, and just get a piece of wood and just start banging on it right in my front yard.
Yeah, you are apparently just the favorite of your neighborhood.
Oh, no, everybody loved me until I started having just a bunch of kids in my house.
Yeah, you got to go now. And the rest, as they say, was history. Mm-hmm. So we've got quite a bit of stuff to get to today. We'll probably end up doing a little bit of unsolicited advice because I just found a couple that are too good not to do before Friday.
Right.
We got a little bit of Tiger stuff we have to discuss, including a little bit of Am I a Bad Fan? We'll do that. We'll probably talk a little bit about hockey because we did have a couple series clinching games over the weekend, and we'll figure out the rest as we go. It is happy hour. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. It is happy hour, and do I really have to come on the air on a Monday afternoon and just rain on everybody's parade?
Why not? It's raining.
Yeah, pretty much I do. It's just how I'm wired. I feel like we have to do another installment here of Am I a Bad Fan?
Take a deep breath, everybody. It's going to get rough.
So, Javi Baez went and had him a weekend. Like, seriously. Like, went out and actually did good things. For the possibly one of the few times of his career here in Detroit. He went out there and went, I believe, 8-for-15 against the, checks notes, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Didn't he used to play for them?
No, he played for the Cubs, then the Mets, then us.
Oh.
So, yeah, he went 8-for-13? Yeah, 8-for-13 against the Diamondbacks in what ended up being a series in which the Tigers took 2 games from the D-backs. And while people are all excited and they're going back, throwing their support behind him, and yay, look at him go, and all this, I'm sitting back here looking at the Arizona Diamondbacks thinking, this team is trash. They're the second worst team in the NL West. That game that they played where the Tigers won 13-0 against arguably one of the worst teams going right now. And some... just horrendous pitching. I mean, Ryan Nelson is not good. Not good at all. Rocking an ERA of 7.06. I'm not sure how this guy is in the major leagues right now. He's gotten steadily worse every year that he's been in. And you hung 8 runs on this guy, 12-13 that day. We've had pitchers that's like hanging, you know, having a big explosive game against Kenta Maeda. Like, Of course that's going to happen. He's not good.
Right.
But am I a bad fan because I am admittedly a bit disappointed, upset, whatever word you like to use, that all of a sudden Baez now started looking good against a garbage team and is probably going to go back to looking like garbage again immediately after that series?
No, because, I mean, if he strings on a few more of these games, you may reach the level of cautiously optimistic, but one series does not a season make.
One series against a trash team.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you're going to KC next. KC being a, somehow, second place in the Central, I fully expect him to once again disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, they haven't yet. That's what we all thought. I mean, we thought the wheels were going to come off that
Well, I mean,
train,
for his bat to disappear off the face of the earth, which it probably
His bat. Oh,
have.
I thought you were talking about the Royals. Because Royals were supposed to be trash. I don't know if we didn't send the email or what, but if it went to their spam folder. But
yeah,
KC
probably, yeah.
was supposed to be trash. It was supposed to go Guardians, Twins, Tigers, Royals, and then White Sox.
That's what we thought, but
Royals participate in class, but they can't follow directions.
Apparently not.
No.
But now it seems like this is going to be the thing where now we're going to have to deal with more of this, basically. Oh, great, they're going to start moving him back up in the lineup. They're going to have him playing every day, and he's ultimately going to go on to tank you again because you got that mirage of, like, two games where he looked like a functional baseball player.
Well, there's a double-sided sword to that because if you don't, you're going to get questions from fans and ownership and him and the player himself saying, well, see, look what I did, and you keep me down here. But if you move him up,
it's going to go right back to what it was.
It's going to go right back to what it was, but you're not going to have that, well, you didn't give me a chance to,
You've given this guy a year and a half of chances.
I know.
Given this man all the chances in the world, and what's he delivered other than the worst OPS in baseball?
Moving him down
and
worked.
A garbage defensive run save to boot.
Moving him down obviously worked. I mean, if I'm Hinch, I'm keeping him down. I'm putting him on a real short leash for probably the rest of the season.
No, absolutely. Like, I certainly would not be considering under any circumstances moving him back up, but all that being said, I feel like it's just going to make it so we're going to be stuck with this. Like, even with the good weekend that he had, he's still rocking a .209 batting average.
Yeah, it's not good.
He's still rocking a .524 OPS, which is about still as bad as it gets among qualified major league hitters.
Yep.
I don't really see that moving him up in the lineup is going to improve any of these things. He batted eighth last night, and we don't know yet about tonight when they go take on the Royals. But that being said, it's now one less, okay, great, they're not going to trade or they're not going to cut him. But you also know he's not going to get hot enough that you can trade him.
No.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be stuck with this guy for the next 4 years in this lineup, just wasting a roster spot. I don't. At this point, and maybe it's, as you may have noticed over the years of doing a show with me, you screw up enough, you're just dead to me, and there's nothing you can do to win me back. Like, what this man would seriously have to do to get me back on the train here, I don't think necessarily be literally possible to pull off.
Right.
Like, I need to see at least another month where he's actually hitting like a real major league hitter. And I know I'm not going to get that, so I'm not getting excited about it. I'm staying on the want 'em gone train.
Well, Captain Silver Lining speaking.
As you do.
What? I mean, you keep him. It's kind of like when you send down a player in the NHL to the minors, or at least knocking them down the line. It helps build their confidence. Maybe this is what's going to work for him. Or do you think he's too cocky enough?
He's got a bad attitude. Always has. He's made that abundantly clear over the years. Made it clear when he was still with the Cubs. Made it really clear when he was with the Mets. And you hear some of the things he says in press conferences after games and whatnot. And you don't really get the sense that that part of him is ever going to change.
Right.
That kind of almost spitefulness towards the fans, which would be great if that were resulting in, you know, regularly getting timely hits or any hits at all, but not when you're struggling like he has for most of his Tiger career.
Yes. And I was listening to I was cheating on this show. I was listening to another show, and they were talking about the numbers he had before he came to Detroit, and it's a little bit infuriating.
Oh, it absolutely is. And for whatever reason, he's not been able to get it together here, and I don't honestly feel at this point that he's going to, so I just almost kind of want him to. It's like when you get to the point where your team's not going to make the playoffs, so you just root for them to lose for the best draft position.
I hate that. I'm so done with that.
I mean, in the sense that you're tired of your teams being that bad enough that we have to root for a draft position.
Yes. Yeah. We've done that. We got the T-shirt. I don't want to do that anymore.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think any of us do. So that being said, I feel like that's where I'm at with him. Like, I'm at the point where I'm almost spitefully rooting against him for this just to be done, because I know that it's already not going to, it's not going to get any better, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, fully out of spite rooting for whatever is going to make our position better. Whether it's, all right, well, now just be terrible the rest of the way so we can just be rid of this albatross of a contract, because I don't think there's any way you're going to be able to make up enough value to justify being here for the next however many years. So, like, I hate that I'm like that, but I'm absolutely just kind of super spiteful with these sort of things. Like, all right, if you're not going to be good, just be really bad so we don't have to deal with you anymore. Which is a terrible way to look at it, I know, but
we've worn down a path to that well.
Yes, we have. We're quite good at that, unfortunately.
Jeez.
A little.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, get rid of that contract. But, I mean, then you look on down the roster, who else you got? I mean, this team needs a lot of help.
Well, and I know that, too, and I know everyone keeps it. Well, what are you going to do? Who are you going to replace him with? Obviously, there's no one in the system right now probably that fits that description, but you could sign even a middling free agent somewhere on the free agency scrap heap, and they can't do any worse.
Yeah.
Like, whoever you sign can't possibly continue to hit well below the Mendoza line, right?
This cat, Bavier, he was good, and now he's not. You know what you're getting from him. Better to try him out on a rookie who's costing you less and hoping, you know, some MLB experience makes him better.
I mean, that's...
It's a bargain. It's a crapshoot, of course, but...
With going back to free agency, I mean, sure, but...
I'm talking about bringing somebody up from the minors to fill that spot, because the question is, who's going to fill that spot? Anybody at this point. So I'd rather see some kid get a chance and be able to, you know, improve their career as opposed to somebody who is obviously in the twilight of their career.
Yeah, other than Parker Meadows, who could possibly hit worse?
Right.
I mean, granted, there's not good options down there, but you even look at some of the names that were left over in free agency, and there is absolutely, I cannot see any universe which some of these guys would actively hit worse than what you're getting here. I don't know if it's even possible. Like, I'd honestly take a chance on, like, a Gene Segura. Like, yeah, he hasn't played yet this year, and he didn't do very well last year. But that was the first season he'd ever dipped below about the 260 mark, and he'd been hitting, you know, in the upper, like, the 270s, 280s for the seasons prior. Honestly, I think he's the guy I wanted to sign. One of the guys who was on my list above Baez when the Tigers originally went to make that move. Like, there are names out there. They're not going to be particularly great names, but I can't force myself to believe that they could be any worse than what you're currently getting out of this. So, that being said, am I a bad fan for feeling this way, for rooting the way that I am, being the spiteful you-know-what that I am?
No, I think that bandwagon is it's not really a bandwagon. It's more of like one of those London double-decker buses. Maybe like an 18-wheeler.
Fair.
There's a lot of people feeling like you.
Yeah. I
hateful, spiteful.
And maybe, well, it's hard to blame them when the team gives you like nothing to be excited about. Like they don't, they're like teasing the possibility, okay, well, maybe we'll, no, we're going to be lucky to contend for third in the AL Comedy Central. Like it's, I'm just ready for the right decisions to actually be made by the people in charge to maybe go out and sign someone who has a competent bat when you know that that's an issue going in this season. And maybe it's not fair that Baez has borne the brunt of it, but as the last guy with a huge contract on this team, unfortunately, that's just kind of how it works.
So now we're going to isolate this, because when Baez continues getting hot and inspires the entire team, and they rally themselves down from being basement fodder for the Comedy Central, and they end up making it to the World Series, and Baez walk-off home run that wins it, wins the whole thing.
You know that's not going to happen.
Cantwell's going to come up here. Baez, always loved him. He was fantastic.
This segment,
never doubted him.
This segment never happened. But I feel pretty confident at this point, a year and a half into his time in Detroit. That's not going to change.
You're right.
I honestly don't see that. Hopefully he won't be here by the time this team's ready to contend. I feel like he probably will still be here as that last albatross of a contract. He'll still be hitting like 167, and we'll still be like, why does AJ Hinch keep running this guy out there?
Right.
But that's
because I'm told to.
Because the boss is making me do it.
Pull the strings, Ilitch. Pull the strings.
Yep. You know that's absolutely what that is. There's no way that he's too smart to go for that for any other reason. Yep. It is happy hour, and I don't know about you, Adam, but I am definitely ready to judge some people. I mean, give out some quality advice.
Well, I, on the other hand, feeling very judgy. Judgmental presiding.
That's what I like to hear. So let's get right into another installment of Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept. And quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
Bring it.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Dear someone who cares.
Oh boy.
My husband of 8 years is a great guy, attentive and devoted dad to our two kids, very hands-on and splits the household work and childcare, etc. We've had some issues, we argue a lot, exacerbated by my anxiety and periodic mild depression, which I'm seeking treatment for. Recently, he asked me what I wanted to do for Mother's Day. A few times, actually. When the first couple ideas looked like they weren't going to work out, no brunch offered, no reservations available, etc., he described a third option. I snapped at him, "Can you just plan it? I don't want to take on all this emotional labor." Not only was he offended, but he stated he has never heard of the phrase emotional labor. I was incredulous. "Look it up," I said. "Women do all the emotional labor," to which he replied that I'm always bringing up gender dynamics and basically hating on men. I couldn't believe he'd never heard that. Although we do share the work around here pretty equally, I am the one who the kids cry to and who buys birthday presents for friends' birthday parties, etc. I guess I'm also disappointed he's not as progressive as me. He wouldn't rush to describe himself as a feminist. He remains understanding of friends who hold conservative positions, whereas I'm still mystified how a young person could tolerate the homophobia, transphobia, and sexism. Am I right to feel annoyed about being asked to weigh in on Mother's Day plans? We've unpacked a lot of issues here haven't we?
Yeah, it's like, do you have anything in your glove compartment? Yeah, let me open up the trunk too. I think there's some stuff underneath the seat. Let's take it just at the question. Should you be annoyed being pestered about Mother's Day? Yeah, I mean, he should be. I mean, once he had his answer of, I don't know, he should have just planned something. Because, I mean, emotionally taxing, I get it, but for you to all of a sudden bring in, like, you know, conservatives and start bringing in gender roles and start bringing
in...
he's
not a feminist.
Wow.
Like, you're really kind of bringing a lot of things that don't have anything to do with this particular...
Yeah, I think ultimately what we're looking at is a marriage that has been around for 8 years. The seven-year itch is very real. And I'm not talking just about, you know, having the hots for somebody else. I'm talking about being with somebody, and I'm just talking about being with somebody, and it's just like you be with anybody for too long, they get on your nerves.
Sure I get on Rachel's nerves all the time.
Oh yeah, that's why she's never here.
Right.
So, but for her to get upset about Mother's Day, and then, well, oh yeah, and then he does this, he doesn't that, he doesn't, you know, he eats crackers in bed, he doesn't turn down the TV volume. I mean, she just like gave us everything that was wrong with was upsetting her in their relationship. So I mean, writer at face value, no, you're not wrong for getting frustrated with the whole Mother's Day thing. He should have just read the room, planned it, and surprised you with something. Even if it was just something as simple as, hey, I'm going to take the kids. We're going to go to the movies. You have a hot bath and a wine, you know, wine owned by a feminist winery, or, you know, whatever you got to do. But we're going to bug off for a while and give you some time.
See, I'm not good with the surprise thing. Like, it's not.
You're
really
one of those people that just, you plan a surprise and then you just like, you got to spoil it like right away.
Well, I can't keep secrets. That's the other thing. Like, I can't keep secrets from her. I can for most other.
She knows you're up to something.
Yeah, she knows right away. Like, I'm the kind of guy who can't buy Christmas presents more than like a couple days before, or like any like holiday or birthday or whatever. Because I'm like, I can't hold this back any longer. I have to give this to you. And then now I have to find something else to get you for the actual holiday. I'm terrible at keeping things from her. That's how you know I could never, like, you know, do something stupid like go and, you know, mess around on her, because I wouldn't be able to not, like, I am not, I don't have a good poker face in that sense.
It'd just be like those TikTok or YouTube videos where, like, the real guilty dog. What did you do? What did you do?
I may have drank your private stock of booze, and that might be enough to actually grounds for her to divorce me.
Get outside. Put you on the chain.
I may have joined another band. I'm sorry.
Sean, do
get out.
Sean, do I need to take you off the chain? No. You'll get us both in trouble.
Just having to roll up newspaper. Bad.
I was like, oh, but, is that a shock collar? Oh, that's new.
Right? Yeah. But I'm not good at, like, keeping secrets and surprises and things. Like, it's very rare. Like, I almost have to forget about the thing in order to actually, for me to be able to do that.
Christmas is like, I got you something.
Damn. I just don't know what it is or where I put it. And then also,
oh, my God, it was a kitten.
Oh, no.
What's that smell? Oh, my God.
But she's also the kind of person that literally prints out whole, like, Christmas birthday shopping lists. Like, these are the things that I want. And
that is brilliant.
I love that. I love that she does this, because I am not always the best at doing this sort of thing. Like, occasionally I pull something completely out of my you-know-what, yeah. But for the most part, it's nice to know, especially with her, because she likes a lot of books.
Yeah.
And I can't keep up with what authors, books, or whatever. Like, she doesn't have, like my mom has, like, one or two authors that she reads everything of theirs.
Yeah.
Rachel, it's quite a wide spectrum of things.
Yep.
So I need that help when it comes to stuff like that.
That's awesome. And there's some people that would look at that list, because this is radio. You guys can't see that list. But it's, like, on a spreadsheet. It's broken down. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's broken down. A lot of people itemized. Say, well, even has the prices of the things written on it. See, and awesome. What website to go get them from.
Well, see, now and some people are like, well, that takes some of the fun out of it. That's kind
Does
of,
it, though?
That's kind of retentive. I'm like, talk to any guy. They're like, that's awesome.
Yeah, if anything, we love that. We appreciate that. I love immensely that she does that, especially because I'm the worst person in the world to shop for, because I don't want – I don't want things. Like, I want – you know what I want? Whiskey. If all else fails, just buy me whiskey, and yeah. We'll be fine with that. I don't – because I have so many – like, she picks up real quick, like, something I actually do, like, need, like, when we need a computer to replace our remote setup.
Yeah.
Like, she's good about that stuff, but I'm not good with, like, here, just guess what I want. I do not do well with that. Like, because I'm also forever worried, and this seems like, with her litany of issues that this writer has, she'd be the kind of person, okay, if you surprise, you know, you do the surprise thing, and then she ends up being like, this isn't what I wanted at all. Well, then maybe you should have told me what you wanted.
Exactly. So, I mean,
so, like, I feel like there's no way he's going to win no matter what. And she even admits, apparently, that she's kind of, like, she, I don't know if she's, like, looking for an argument all the time, but she kind of, like, seems that way. Like, yeah. She just wants to, like, she wants the conflict. She just wants to be, you know, upset with this guy to, you know, have some grievance against him.
Yeah.
And that, God, that must get really tiring.
Yeah, seems like she really wants to play the victim card too quickly. Sounds like they may need some counseling. I mean, sounds like she's counseling for herself.
Also, she's mad that he has never heard of the term emotional labor. I didn't know what that was literally until I read this letter. I'd never heard that in my life.
Labor. I mean, I can kind of come up with a definition for it, but no, that's not exactly a buzz term that we've been using in a modern society.
He doesn't even know what the patriarchy is. What is wrong with this man? I'll tell you what's wrong with him. He's a man.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing, King.
So, to be fair, it does seem like you are always bringing up gender dynamics and hating on men, because you literally start, you get one paragraph into this article and you start doing it.
Yeah. Guaranteed, if we saw the original email come through, a lot of it would be in caps.
Probably. I would almost imagine so. Yes, for your other issues with him, like, I don't... You have to decide for yourself, I guess, whether the values you hold are compatible with whatever his might be, which I'm not even sure. It might just be like, look, if I were to cut every person that has opposing political views of mine out of my life, around where we live, I wouldn't have a lot of friends.
No.
I have you, and that's about it.
I mean, on either side of the spectrum, it is a very immature way of living life. If you're going to, because it's not, I mean, let's take politics out of it. You're cutting people out who don't agree with you. Well, that's life.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's certain extremes to which you can certainly go. Like, I won't be friends with, you know, racists or wife beaters or things like that. I have lines that I'll draw, but, okay, you support a different political candidate than I do. Therefore, we can't be friends anymore. Like,
that's an immature way of going through life.
Yeah, I can't necessarily say that your husband is wrong for doing that. I'm not sure what exactly you're looking for out of this relationship anyway, quite frankly.
Right.
Like, I'm if you're looking for someone who's going to, I guess, apologize for his continued existence all the time and never ask you for input on things, I mean, good on you, but this is one where I feel like, yeah, you're not right to feel annoyed about being asked to decide what you want to do on your day.
Let's just not be so militant about it, shall we?
Maybe let's consider that. Shall we get into another one of these before we really get ourselves in trouble?
Hopefully this is a little bit more lighthearted.
Well, we'll see about that.
I don't like the sound of that.
Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, I've grown tired of my husband for many reasons. I'll specify in a letter later. But one thing has really been bothering me lately. We have a nanny. She's wonderful and goes above and beyond caring for our child and home.
Uh-oh.
The problem is my husband, who is terminally lazy, treats her like a maid. I appreciate that she does dishes and puts away toys at the end of the day, but he has zero problem leaving the house a pigsty each night so that either I clean everything or the nanny walks into a disaster. I've brought it up to him that she is not responsible for cleaning our messes, but he is shameless and doesn't care. How do I address this? I am regularly left resentful for always being the one to clean or embarrassed that our nanny is doing double duty as a caregiver and housekeeper.
You pull the nanny aside and say that you've upped your price to take care of these extra duties. And once you start hitting his pocketbook, his wallet, watch him start to pick up after himself a little bit more.
I don't hate it. I mean, that's actually probably...
Anyway, it's Friday. You guys have a great weekend. Starting Monday, you're paying me this amount. I'm going to be upping it up 30% because of the extra work. Okay, anyway, see you Monday. And then he'd be like, what? What's going on? Why is she charging? Well, because I told her she's picking up. You're leaving wash rags in the bathtub. You're not cleaning up after yourself. I mean, what is the matter with you? She's not your mother. She's not the maid. She takes care of our kids. That's it. Full stop.
Yeah, she's the babysitter. That's the job that we are paying her to do.
And if she's not doing it, I'm doing it. What do you think? What is your issue? Why are you going to be such a man?
And then, you know. Now, to be fair in this one.
Mr. Man.
You notice how they're the last ones started with like this, oh, I love this man. He's so amazing, except for, you know, all of whatever he does.
Yeah.
This one starts off by basically with, my husband's a terrible person, and I'm going to be probably writing you another letter later asking what to do about him. Like, you know what you need to do? Divorce him.
Oh, there's kids involved, man.
I don't care. You clearly have decided that this man has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. You like you can't even bother with the perfunctory, but he's still an amazing guy in this way and this way. You just come out with, he's a terrible person, and I have a multitude of other reasons that we're not even getting to why I think he's a terrible person.
That's going to reserve that for part two.
Right. There's going to be a part two of this letter. Like, no. Be done with him. Dump him. Kick him out.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of underlying issues here. She's probably just, this is probably just the tip of the iceberg, but
oh, I'm sure.
At face value, just have a united front with the nanny. Listen, jack up your prices, and you know, and I'll act like I didn't know anything about it. I don't know, you slob of a husband of mine. I had no idea she was going to go ahead and jack the prices up, but I kind of get it. I've warned you about this, and well. Yes, you're paying it. Anyway, yeah, you just go ahead and keep your beer cans all over the place. Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. How do you feel now, jerk?
Right? No, that absolutely.
I gotta go write a letter. I'll be right back. Anyway, my friend Sylvia is on the line. She's complaining about having to plan her own Mother's Day celebration. I'll get back with you in a minute. Yeah, Sylvia. Yeah, yeah. He's doing it again. I tell you what.
The moral of the story being, ultimately, if you can't even do the bare minimum of, you know, finding some redeeming quality somewhere in this guy that you agreed to marry in your letter, probably shouldn't be with him.
It's not looking good.
It looks like you're long past the stage of just being resentful towards him and his very existence, and not that I necessarily blame you for that.
Right.
But there's a lot bigger issues to unpack than leaving the house a mess. But no, you absolutely just, I don't know. The rates went up because she's apparently now functioning as our maid.
Yeah, she just can't.
So just you know, you're paying an extra $200 a week for that service now.
Or come up with this ruse that, oh, yeah, she's put her 2 weeks in. She can't. It's not worth the money. And she's gone. Who's quitting their job to stay home with the kids? Shall we toss a coin?
You know, with this guy, he probably would just to not have to work.
I don't know.
That could backfire.
He looks like, he sounds like he's like the typical, he thinks it's still like 1955. Yeah, yes, honey, I'm off to work. I'm off to the office where I'm flirting with my secretary. I'm going to go on a martini lunch, come back hammered. And then I will berate you for not having the house exactly how I wanted and watch TV while you raise the kids. Hugs and kisses. My regards, your husband.
I just like the idea that he's writing this all in letter form.
Oh, yeah, in complete like calligraphy.
Right.
And cursive. You know, those people.
Of course, always. They're the ones that are so insistent on the cursive thing. Like,
you have to write in cursive. How do people know you're pretentious if you don't write in cursive?
Oh, trust me, I think they'll figure out that you're pretentious well without any of that.
That's right.
Hope that helped. Hope, well, literally any of this helped, although I'm sure all it really served to do was just offend everybody that we possibly could have. And if we haven't gotten to you yet, don't worry. We've still got plenty of show left. We will get to you in due time. So we do still have a few sports things to get to, none necessarily involving anything going on in Detroit right now. But as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hi, I'm John Buchagross.
No, you're not.
Barry Melrose aside, we'll be talking to Liam Hewson.
Liam McHugh
a little later on.
Apologize to him, I guess.
matchup. New Jersey Devils versus the Detroit Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals.
You wish. That's probably...
Well, that happened in 95. It did.
Right. See, that's probably 3 years down the road yet, man.
Sure. No, I, well, can't because they're in the same conference.
Ah, true. But yeah, there's that now.
But you could get a Colorado Avalanche Detroit Red Wings Stanley Cup Final, and that would be
I would love
fun.
It
fun, or Chicago Blackhawks. Anyway,
now they're not gonna make
Game
finals.
7. Oilers, Canucks. They're in Vancouver. Vancouver is the city is already on watch because they saw what happened when they lost a Game 7 against Boston in the finals. Some of the city got a little toasty, so they're warning people, just relax, people. Just relax.
Oh, it was full on riots the last time. Now, the unfortunate thing for Vancouver coming into this is that
Brock Besser is out with a blood clot in his leg. That's not a concussion. I mean, that's a serious thing right there. So here's this guy. Even if Vancouver wins this and they go on to face Dallas Stars, you will have 0% Brock Boeser. I think 40 goals, 20-some assists in the regular season. This is a guy you need.
This is a big loss. Big loss for them. He's already had, I believe, three goals and two assists in this series against...
That's Edmonton.
Against Edmonton.
Yeah.
That's going to be rather unfortunate for them. Like that's a big... bit of your offensive firepower that you're just not going to have at your disposal tonight.
You know this guy is just heartbroken. Because even if they make it to Dallas, make it through Dallas, and they go to the Stanley Cup Finals, he can't be there. I mean, wow.
Yeah, huge, huge hit for them. That's certainly not going to help going into tonight's matchup, Annie.
I mean, you already have Thatcher Demko out. So this does not bode well.
To be fair, though, the guy that they brought in who has been kind of carrying that load, Artur Silovs, has been doing about...
Yes.
He's been doing about as well as you could have expected basically a rookie to do.
But you're going to expect...
The numbers have kind of gotten not so great in recent history, admittedly. He started off actually surprisingly strong. And then, he's still rocking like a 289 goals against.
He's getting the job done. I don't think you're going to... I worry less about Vancouver's goaltending than I do Edmonton's.
That's true.
But, I mean, with Boeser... Come on, say Bowser. It's like Super Mario Brothers.
Baser.
With him out, you still got... I mean, the centers have really got to step up. JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, Elias Lindholm. They're going to have to get things done. Piyu Suter, he's going to have to really step up.
The former Red Wing.
Yes.
Man, wouldn't mind still having him on this team, but whatever.
I liked him. It didn't pan out for whatever reason. And Filip Hronek, who is on the first line defense with Quinn Hughes. Not too shabby. I mean, yes, Brock being out with a blood clot does hurt Vancouver, and it's just heartbreaking for this guy. But, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I'm not. But if I'm a betting man, my money's still going to be on the Canucks.
No, mine absolutely would be, too. Like, you'll remember, I called it for Canucks in 7. Let that be on record at the start of this series.
You're a filthy liar.
I am not. it's written down back in the studio, man.
Yeah. I think I picked Edmonton
in 7.
In 3 or something like that. I think we're just going to
you picked Edmonton in 3. Yeah, that's totally how that worked.
Yep.
Had a couple other series wrap up over the weekend.
Yeah. We're just waiting on this team, this matchup before we can move on to the conference finals.
You had the Panthers close it out against Boston, which I was certainly happy to see.
There really is no real winner because I find the Panthers annoying. Yes, very much so. And then the Stars beat out the Avalanche in double overtime.
You're just saying that because Matthew Tkachuk is annoying.
Yes, I am saying that.
And then the Stars and the Avs, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed to see Colorado get knocked out. Double overtime thriller.
Stars, they've got it together. I mean, give it up to Jim Nill and a lot of the Red Wing... the scouts that went towards Texas.
And then the rest of us who hate you for continuing to rub that in our face that he could have stayed here instead of dealing with Kenny Holland the late years.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, but thanks for reminding us of that again, Adam.
Yeah.
Rub that, cut that wound right open and dump some salt and lemon in it.
Lemon juice in there for that. Yes, absolutely. But I mean, whoever comes out of that previous matchup, Edmonton, Vancouver, we've said it, they're just going to be fodder for the Stars. I think Panther and Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals.
It feels inevitable, does it not?
Oh, and how the hockey purists feel about that. Two
Southern teams.
Quote unquote non-traditional hockey markets.
Oh yeah. There are some Don Cherry is probably just sitting there spinning in. Well, I guess he's not dead yet, but
he's not dead, but you know, his nursemaid is, you know, just like, oh man, we're just gonna have to like really put some pills in his applesauce tonight. He's gonna be mad.
He's gonna be ornery.
Yeah, Florida, Sunrise, and then Dallas.
Why do they have a team? Just going off about.
When did Dallas get a team? All right, Mr. Cherry, it's time for your medicine.
You have to apologize to Don Cherry.
Yeah, he's still a fiery old cuss. It'd probably be a good idea to put him on the apology list.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But, I mean, then we can talk about later what happens there. But, I mean, am I getting ahead of myself? Do you think the Panthers come out against the New York Rangers in that East?
I do. I absolutely do. Like, New York certainly has its share of also kind of
test-like
cheap shot guys. Oh. Like, you know, Jacob Trouba is still a thing that exists, and so is Matt Rempe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they've got their pests. This is probably going to be a very entertaining matchup.
We're going to get at least one bench-clearing brawl in this series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. In the playoffs. You never saw fights in the playoffs beginning of the modern era. But now, I could definitely see a bench-clearing brawl and people getting ejected, coaches being ejected left and right.
I think it'll absolutely happen, dude.
That's right. Going to be a lot of some blood donated during that matchup. But, I mean, let's talk about goaltending.
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky and Shesterkin.
He's playing some of the best hockey of his career now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's fantastic. Shesterkin on the other side. It's going to be low-scoring games, but not...
Certainly not boring.
No. There's going to be some great saves. A lot of sticks are going to be hit against the boards.
That they are, man. Oh, no, without a doubt. Like, you have... It's like the exact opposite of the Edmonton-Vancouver matchup. You have kind of lousy goaltending there, and here you've got like the best of the best of the league.
You really do. I mean, you told me that Vancouver goalie's name, and I'm the hockey guy around here, and I'm like, hey, you're gonna have to write that down for me. I don't remember this cat at all.
Artur Siloffs. You'll get this eventually.
Siloffs.
I have faith in you.
Wasn't he like the one gangster that Michael Corleone had to shoot in Godfather 1?
Sure. We'll go with that. Guess I better add him to the apology list.
Drop the gun. I'm telling you what, even though the Wings aren't in it yet, they'll be in there next year.
Do you really believe that, Adam?
I'll put a case of beer on that.
I'd love for you to be right about that,
the entertainment value of these playoffs have been fantastic. If this game didn't start so late, this game 7, I'd be watching it, absolutely.
You're still going to be watching it anyway. What are you talking about?
Probably will. Then I'll be coming into work, just grouchy.
Well, that's fine. That's their problem to deal with.
All my coworkers are like, there's a game 7. The team going to the Western Conference Finals. Don't talk to Adam for a while. Not until he's had lunch.
Yeah, you wait until that man's got his whiskey in him, and then you can approach him.
They don't let me have whiskey at my 9-to-5. They were very clear on that.
when did they change that policy? That's unfortunate. Was it when you and Drew showed up drunk?
yeah, exactly. Like, we got to write something up. Even the UFC union is like, yeah, we should probably put something in there.
Yeah, that's our policy now.
The thing is, you've never worked with a company that had an HR, did you?
No. That's no, I've worked in food service and radio. We don't have, well, in certainly in service industry, we don't have HR. And in radio, that's a...
Well...
You think we have the budget for HR?
I mean, I'm happy with whoever comes out of this matchup, Vancouver or Edmonton, going against Dallas. That's going to be a good matchup. I think it's going to be...
It's one that Dallas is going to take,
Dallas,
I think, in six.
All Dallas in six. And then I firmly believe that... if I can look at my crystal ball that also has a Ouija board in it. Blue Shirts versus the Cats over in the East. I think it's going to go to Game 7. And there's going to be a very significant player on either side going out with a season-ending injury.
Oof.
Yep.
I mean, I hope you're wrong about that. I mean, officially, I hope you're wrong about that. Internally, I'm thinking I could think of a few people who I wouldn't mind. But
right.
That being said...
Are you taking requests?
That said, give me... I'm going to say Panthers in seven. And there's going to be at least one full-on, like, full-line brawl at some point in this series. There's my prediction. It is Happy Hour back after this.
It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour as we get set to get out of Dodge on a Monday afternoon.
Whoop, whoop.
I did kind of want to touch on this, though. So apparently, like, the airlines are already not really good at necessarily, I don't know what you call it, empathizing with humans in general, really.
That was a big word for... Good job empathizing. Yes.
I'm good for one of those like every 2 months or so. But apparently the airlines are threatening to sue the U.S. Transportation Department over this new thing where they would be required to clearly display their hidden fees and whatnot. They're not happy about it, I guess, that, oh my God, you mean you can't just do like the Live Nation like thing, just have these hidden convenience charges and things anymore?
Yeah, right, or where you're paying for $50 ticket to go to a concert, and you're paying $40 in fees? Yes, please. Elaborate.
Yeah, so there's a law that has been passed that I believe is getting set to take effect. It was finalized on April 24th. It required travel agents and airlines to disclose up front if customers are going to be charged for reservation changes, flight cancellations, or baggage check fees. Airlines would also have to show any extra costs on the webpage where they show price quotes for flights. The rule would help save airline customers over $543 million annually and is scheduled to go into effect on July 1st.
Love it.
Sounds like a winner to me.
I think it should set a precedence for other things. You mentioned Live Nation. Absolutely. I've been on such a tear with concerts these days. But the airlines, yeah, they're no better. I mean... They're adding this cost, and next thing you know, it only costs $39 to fly to Las Vegas, but then we add everything on there.
And like $300 in fees.
Yeah.
But apparently, there's an airline lobbying group, Airlines for America, that represents United, American, Delta, JetBlue, Alaska, and Hawaiian. They filed a lawsuit challenging the rule on Friday, arguing that the rule exceeds the department's authority. That's arbitrary, capricious, an abuse of discretion, and otherwise contrary to law.
Okay, well, why don't you just do it on your own then, without being told?
Without having to be forced to.
Yeah, there you go.
So, here's their actual honest-to-God defense for this.
Oh, boy.
Airlines for America argued the agency's mandate will greatly confuse customers who will be inundated with information that will only serve to complicate the buying process. It's a bad solution in search of a problem.
Say that. I apologize, but please say that again.
They argue the agency's mandate will, quote, greatly confuse customers who will be inundated with information that will only serve to complicate the buying process.
No, it's information that will be made to serve the consumer, and they'll actually be educated.
Yeah, more information isn't a bad thing.
No, quite the opposite. Wow.
That's amazing. Like, so they literally think you're too stupid to understand what fees are if they're put in front of you. You don't really want to know all this. You're too much of a dum-dum to get it. So let us just charge these fees on the back end, and you can worry about it later when you have no choice in the matter, and it's now too late to back out.
Yeah, what's this $200 middle finger tax? Well, that's just what we've decided to give.
To call it, because,
yeah, there you go, middle finger. what's that for? Well, it's just for, you know.
For the hell of it, because we can.
Stuff, I mean, what do you want?
Stuff.
Things and stuff. I mean, it is what it is. We're running an airline here. I mean, we're really doing the good of the people. Yeah, but what if we didn't fly? Well, then you'd have to drive. So, okay, we can do that. that squeal was the gas company. He's like, yay!
Yeah, they're even more excited about that prospect, certainly.
So, I mean, I love it. I love it, but let's not just target the airlines. Let's put it on for everybody.
Yeah, I want to know, like, in general.
Healthcare profession, we talk about concert tickets, sporting event tickets, full disclosure of everything you're paying for.
Well, but then how would we make that money and be able to get away with it and not have to tell you what it was? Like, won't you think of us, the companies are trying to make that extra bit of profit on your back?
Oh, because they're all going to play the same card. Oh, COVID. Do you realize how much money we lost during COVID? Do you realize how long COVID was ago? 3 years ago? Four is when it started. And then they opened things up. And you've had time to recoup these losses, and because we got it, okay. The cruise lines, the airlines, the tickets, everything else. You guys lost a lot of money. Got it. So if tickets were elevated a little bit, yeah, you kind of understood, because there's a lot of people other than just the performer and the pilot and the bartender on cruise lines. You know, you got to think about everybody else.
Oh, sure.
But now we're getting to the point where if you haven't recouped by now, then
you're never going to.
You are not very good at your booking. So,
and they've had no problem recouping. They have made some just...
Oh, my God.
They're making just boatloads of money off of people. And really haven't...
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like the airlines are exactly losing money by any means. And they still were trying to beg for a handout during all that.
They certainly were. I said they should just, like... Just not put avocado on their toast and pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
That would do it. That would absolutely...
That solves it.
That'll solve your whole problem
absolutely.
Right there. You know, maybe skip that Starbucks in the morning.
Yeah. There you go.
Because that's what you want is you want, you know, your...
And I realize...
Airlines falling, you know, your pilots falling asleep without that.
No. Pilots, you get your Starbucks.
You guys can have your Starbucks.
In fact, we'll just put a Starbucks on every plane.
There you go.
I have a coffee order for Octavius. My name's Adam. That's fine. Close enough.
But the fact that there's seriously like $540 some million just in these fees that are being charged.
So, of course, they're fighting it. How much a big old chunk... $500 million, yeah. They're gonna be fighting that.
Of course they are.
But then now to the consumers, they're like, wait a minute, you're charging us this much. You won't tell us what it is, and to add insult to injury, you're telling us we're too stupid
to understand it. Oh, yeah, oh. we can't confuse the customer by being honest with them.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
There you go. Yeah. We charged you a have a nice day fee from our flight attendants when they said have a nice day.
You're paying for that.
Yeah, that's a billing. So, they're probably going to lose some money on that, but don't worry. They'll just jack the drink prices up. A little bit, jack the prices up to get on the plane. They'll make their money back.
Oh, yeah, they will. They'll make up for it one way or the other,
but
don't you worry.
But it just means you have to tell us where that money's going.
Even not where the money's going, but why we're being charged that money.
Exactly.
I don't care where the money's going ultimately. Like, if it could at least go to, like, you know, I don't know, making sure that doors aren't flying off of planes, you know, that'd be great. You could do that. Wouldn't that be something?
Exactly. Boeing, we're in your direction. We're looking
at
you.
Yeah.
Tired of your planes going boing, boing, boing.
Like, is that a new fee that we're going to start getting? Yeah.
Not going to crash tax.
Right. This plane won't lose parts mid-flight fee.
Hi, this is your captain. We were supposed to have a nice uninterrupted flight, but somebody in 21A didn't pay for the don't crash tax. So I guess let's just roll the dice. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Let's go.
All right. Get those emergency doors open.
Every flight attendant's doing Stations of the Cross. 21A, you don't get any peanuts. Oh, thanks a lot, dude.
Way to go. Speaking of, we got to go. Sessions is up next.
And you lovers of local original music, check out Cougaran, their new album, Raise Us Higher, and the video for their song, Fake World. They both dropped today.
All right. Sessions is next. Talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.